This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, it's Wednesday and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting, diving into the wonderfulness, the hardness, the craziness that is parenting. And as always, I want to thank you for joining me. It's always, for me, such a blessing and such a, just gratitude comes to mind when I think that I have this opportunity to speak to you each week. So thank you for taking the time to listen to this show. And if you've missed any of my previous shows, as always, please remember that it is available as a podcast for you to go listen to this show and all of my shows. As always, of course, again, like I said, we're talking parenting. I was just now with my guest talking off air about with my comrades training that I'm going through at the moment. I'm honestly, my memory is shockingly bad. I have to say, general, my mind is not necessarily just my mind anymore. It's obviously I have to remember things for my children, for my household. So I'm good at making notes and also lists of things because I am not good at remembering things, but I feel it is now at a different kind. As you can hear, I even feel like I'm forgetting words. And that's exactly kind of what the conversation is about. Not me forgetting things, of course, but the realization that we can get a little bit overwhelmed as parents, to be honest. And I think we sometimes forget that our children and our little humans we have in our lives also can feel that and very quickly feel overwhelmed. And I, even now, my children are already 12 and 14. I can see it when I'm a little bit stressed, how it filters through our entire household almost. Okay. I am consciously aware of this now a lot more, but I do feel like emotionally I'm quite in tune with my household, my tiny little superpower I have. And I pick up on these things. So I do then try to calm myself a little bit and remind myself that what I do for a living is not life or death, luckily. And that I'm not going to be able to keep all the balls in the air, and I have to prioritize which is the most important things anyway. But again, it's not really about us being overwhelmed. I'm dominating the conversation here now again. It's about our children. Another thing I want to add on this topic is that I had a conversation with a friend of mine over the weekend, and then she was telling me about her seven-year-old who has this, like, I mean, honestly, I was like so surprised about the schedule that the seven-year-old had. She wakes up, some days she swims twice a day, in the morning and in the afternoon she has training for swimming, and almost on a daily basis. And I'm like thinking, at seven? I mean, I can still see it. And I mean, my daughter, she swims five times a week, which I already, I mean, she's 12, and I'm already like, is this really necessary? Most times it only works out to four times a week, but if I allowed it, she would probably swim six times a week, but my schedule does not allow her to swim that regularly. But kids are, I feel, super overwhelmed. And I mean, we shouldn't forget, if we can get overwhelmed, our children can get overwhelmed. So today, to help me talk about this conversation, is honestly one of my favorite people. Every time I speak to Andri, let's just talk to her. I should really stop talking so that she can take over. But it's occupational therapist Andri Louise is talking with me today. And we're talking about what overwhelmed really looks like in real life, I think. Also a little bit, what we can do to help the situation, obviously for ourselves maybe as well, but also for our children. How we can, because I think we're quick to judge our children when they have tantrums or meltdowns and things like that. And yeah, please go think about your week, the last week. If you were calm and collected the whole week, think about it a little bit. And then, yeah, don't, you know, children are just starting with emotions. So not having a regulation, I think, is quite normal. Joining me, like I said, is Andre Louise. Hello, Andre. How are you today?
Hi, Yolandi. Hi, everyone. I'm well. Yes. So fun being back.
Yes, it's like I said, you're one of my, she also, I have to share, Andre Louise, also the training for my team not too long ago. And honestly, everyone was like, oh, one of the best trainings ever. Love, love, love you, Andre. But let's talk about that. Like I said, I was trying to explain a little bit, which I feel came across very well in the last 5 minutes, my overwhelmedness and because I feel like just in this last 5 minutes, I've spoken about 15 different things, just showing you my mind, what is happening here. But when we say a child is overwhelmed, what does that actually really look like?
Often children are actually very similar to us. How we look overwhelmed and how a child looks overwhelmed, it's similar because when we feel overwhelmed, the brain tries to protect us. So the brain tries to say, how do I get away from this situation? So one of the things that can happen is we freeze. So as adults, we would call it procrastination.
I call it delegating to my future self.
There we go. And as children, they just don't get going in a task. So they get stuck on a specific task, or they go and sit in a corner. Sometimes we fight. So we get irritable, we get snappy, we tell someone to stop it. For our younger children who don't have a lot of words yet, they could be biting, scratching, kicking, screaming. Then what we could do as well, and this, we start to see it with the kids who are a bit older, so here around 5, 6, 7, is we try to be super nice. Because if I'm so nice to you, you're not going to add to my load and you will probably help me. So by me being nice, I'm going to be on your good side and that will make me less overwhelmed. So when we see our kids who are just always people pleasing and they never give up a bit of a resistance, that can be a sign of overwhelm. And then we see what we call flight. So running away. And we could run away by, for us as adults, jumping onto YouTube. We could run away by binge watching movies. But for our kids, they would often just jump up and abandon an activity. So they're running away, getting out of the activity. But something else that happens, and again, we see it in ourselves, is we get scattered or disorganized. So when I'm overwhelmed, I'm losing control of my cognitive brain, my thinking brain. So I can't use my thinking brain to now help me control myself. So then I become scattered. I jump from activity to activity. I jump from conversation theme to conversation theme. And that's what we see in the kids. They start making messes, jumping around, not finishing tasks. So we can have these different things that show us a child is overwhelmed. So it could also be hyper independence. I want to do it. I want to do it. I want to do it because I'm not sure that I can. So I want to choose everything, or we can get hyper dependence. Help me, help me, help me, because I don't trust that I can do it. So these different ways children can show us they are overwhelmed, and we can see it in ourselves very similarly.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, you are on 101.9 Chai FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And today we're talking about Yeah, the regulation or helping children in this daily lives when they feel regulated or overwhelmed. And I loved already our conversation with my guest, Andre Louise. Where stays, and she's an occupational, a pediatric occupational therapist, and where she was just sharing with us that how similar, because I think that sometimes, and often I say that to parents as well, is that we forget that children are also humans, okay, and often their reactions are actually quite exactly the same, maybe with a little bit of more childness in it, I guess. A little bit of a, I feel, dig there at different thoughts and whatever. I feel that that showed my exact, like I said, thinking in the first 5 minutes of this conversation, where I was just this and this and this and this and showing how busy my mind is. So clearly, there are signs of being overwhelmed inside me. If you've missed the conversation so far, don't stress. This show and all of my shows will be available as a podcast afterwards. But as always, I want you to be part of the conversation. Share with me a little bit if you, as a parent, have felt overwhelmed with parenting, with your own life. Some of those things that Andre was mentioning. Do you freeze? Do you fight? Are you overly nice? I definitely use the niceness technique all the time because I really want to get away with things. Do you have the flight? I think we all have that flight where we sometimes just veg out and watch reels on Instagram and things like that. Or are you scattered and your brain is all over the place? Share with me. You can send us a WhatsApp on 061 895-1019. Please be part of the conversation. Also, if you have any questions for Andri, of course, you can share those as well. So, Andri, one of the things, and I think it's, I feel like it's becoming a bit of a it word at the moment, regulation, and not regulating your child. And we often hear this word of regulations and not regulating. Is that the same as feeling overwhelmed? Or not overwhelmed? Is there underwhelmed? Yeah, he's underwhelmed.
I think regulation is getting a lot of buzz, which I want to caution. We need to experience the entire range of emotions to develop. And our development happens when there's a tolerable, slight discomfort. So, when I'm feeling a little bit challenged, I will develop. In our 2 to 3 year olds, they are learning autonomy. So, they want to do stuff by themselves. And then, when they can't get it right, they feel shame. So, they feel unsure of themselves. And that can create strong emotions. Those strong emotions are age-appropriate emotions. It's how they develop. For our 3 to 5 year olds, they want to take initiative. So they want to bring their ideas. But then sometimes they do the wrong idea because they don't have the judgment yet. So what then happens is then they feel very strong feelings of guilt. So I have an idea, I try something, it doesn't work, I feel guilty. And that brings strong emotions. Those strong emotions are developmentally appropriate. That does not mean there is dysregulation. And dysregulation is when I cannot meet the demands of an activity because I cannot match my emotions or my energy to the demands. So if I cannot cope with the noisiness in church and I cry, because the noise is too much, that is a sensory dysregulation. If every time I have to try to shift activity, I start to cry because it's so difficult to transition, that's an emotional dysregulation. So our dysregulation is when we lose the control of our emotions, of our behavior, because of the demands of the environment. If I start to have a big emotion and I scream and I shout because I want something, And then I can turn it off when I get the thing I want. That's a tantrum. So I am now using my age-appropriate big emotions to meet my need. That's not dysregulation. For us as adults, that can feel dysregulating to us. We can get overwhelmed by the strong emotions of younger children. But not every strong emotion is dysregulation. So we can often see that children will get dysregulated about the same input. I dysregulated when I dress. I dysregulate when I'm in a noisy building. I dysregulate when I have to switch between tasks. And if you see it happens consistently, it's good to go see an occupational therapist to identify why is it there.
Yeah.
But strong emotions and overwhelm, that's just part of normal development at this age. I want to learn new things. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes they're going to feel overwhelmed by it. And we then want to hold the child with a supportive, friendly, warm, encouraging style that tells them, you're going to be okay, even if you have a big emotion now.
And just that, there's just that is so, and I mean, what you're saying, it's like they have to learn these emotions. And again, I feel so many adults, we often struggle to control our emotions in certain situations. So we cannot blame a child that sometimes has the wrong emotional response considering the situation. And again, they're not going to learn how to appropriately respond and regulate themselves if they don't have the opportunities to do so, I guess.
This thing, sometimes we think of emotions as the wrong emotional response, but there isn't really a wrong emotional response. The
Yes.
emotion we feel is what we feel. There might be a wrong behavioral response to the emotion, but if we can teach our kids, you are allowed to feel every emotion, but you have
And
to
you
choose,
should.
and you should, and they're okay, and feel them in intensity, but behave in a way that's acceptable. Don't hurt. Don't break. Be respectful. Go somewhere where you can express your big, overwhelming emotion that's safe, but within the boundaries that we want to try and protect relationally. And if your child is neurodiverse, that might not be fully applicable to you because it might take longer in that process. So please don't feel judged if that is the general rule we try to guide kids towards. Don't hurt, don't break, respect others, but feel your big emotion.
Oh, I love that. And I mean, I say to people that I think as adults, we think that having good mental health means being happy and content all the time. And good mental health is about having the appropriate emotional response considering the situation, meaning you should feel sad if someone passes away. You should feel angry if someone punches you in the face. That's the appropriate response. Being happy and content all the time, I mean, you should feel happy and content, of course. There should be that emotion, but being it all the time, that's a psychopath. If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond. And today we're talking about how we can help our children when they're feeling overwhelmed. Help them process those big emotions in a and behave in the appropriate way eventually. But just dealing with that. Don't worry if you've only just joined me. Remember, this show and all of my shows are available as a podcast for you to go listen to at your own leisure. And please go listen to it because we have such a great library already of different topics that we've covered, including with my guest today, André-Louise Oosthuizen, pediatric occupational therapist. So with what I mentioned before, André, some children also, I feel, just get overwhelmed by daily tasks. And you've already mentioned it a little bit, you know, if a child has, you know, consistently struggles to get dressed every morning. I think we all have been there where your child is struggling with certain things. And again, keeping in mind, sometimes it's the first time that they're doing it or the second time. So we also have to have a little bit patience when it comes to certain tasks. But What do we mean by the daily demands for children?
So, daily demands are activities. So, there are certain activities that children do at certain ages. So, learning to dress, learning to clean up a room. Daily demands are our interactions. So, listening to an adult, being able to stay polite. Daily demands are transitions, so shifting between activities. And daily demands also include flexibility. So that moment where the day suddenly doesn't go as you expected, you thought you're going to visit grandma, and now you're going to the shop because grandma isn't there. That unexpected shift. So our daily demands come in these clusters of activities, relationships, transition between activities, and changes in unexpected changes or flexibility.
Yes.
And again, I just want to restate it because it's so important. When a child has a meltdown, they are so overwhelmed that they cannot think about their behavior. We're not going to speak about behavior during a meltdown. We're not going to try and correct it. When a child is feeling overwhelmed in daily demands, they are feeling the pressure, the stretch of development, but they can still engage with us on a cognitive instruction following level. So it's slightly different. Daily demands that become overwhelming, we can support the child step by step through it. Meltdown, I'm completely unable to cope with this activity or this demand. We want to first just sit with the child until they can re-regulate, feel calm again.
But how, what would that entail now? What you're saying, sitting with the child, are you just saying, hi, it's okay, let's get through this? What are some things that we can help parents with in that moment? Let's start with when they are feeling overwhelmed with the task. So they're still regulated, they're not having a tantrum, but they're having, how is that step by step? Is it just literally that? Thinking of what the
Okay.
first thing is, how can you
I'm
help parents in that situation?
so glad you're asking that because we want to start before the overwhelm. We want to start before the meltdown. Our best regulation doesn't happen in the meltdown. Our best regulation happens by all our structuring in the day that helps us not to get to the meltdown. So, the first thing we want to do is we want to have connection, daily connection with our kids, because a connected child feels safe. And bravery and regulation, it begins with feeling safe. So, if we can put our phones aside, put our work thoughts aside, put the dinner plans aside, and spend some time sitting on the floor, being in the garden, just being with our child and appreciating them. We let them feel connected. So we're not trying to read a book or teach them or do homework. Or that bath thing can be a time of connection. But if we are just getting the bathing done, it's not connecting, it's bathing. So we want to deliberately have time every day, making our child feel connected to us, where we say, I see you. I really see you. I appreciate you, because that's the basis of it all. Second thing we want to do is we want to have our routines predictable, our evening routines and our morning routines. If we follow a similar pattern, we don't have to think about the pattern. I don't have to think, and my child doesn't have to think. If I dress and I go pants, then shirts, then socks. Then I want to dress pants, then shirts, then socks. Because if that is a little routine, I don't have to think about it. It takes away the energy so that the energy can be left for other important activities. So we want to build in some
Takes the
routines.
thinking out of the mundane things.
Yes, we want to spend our thinking on the new things we're learning. So we want to do that. We want to give choice, but not give away control. So when we hear that children want to have choice, children want to have agency, sometimes what happens is people give children choice over the things that should be controlled by the adult. Getting dressed is not a choice. You have to get dressed. So if we say to the child, do you want to get dressed? The answer is going to be no. Do you want to go eat? No. Do you want to? No. It's so typical of our 2 to 4 year olds. Everything is no. So we want to give choice without giving away control. So we're going to say, let's go dress. Are you going to wear the blue or the red shirt? So we give the choice, but not the control, because that then really helps children. The other thing that helps is, especially for our 2 to 4 year olds, if we don't say, can I help you? Because the answer is going to be no. If we make a statement of what we're going to do, I'm going to hold while you put it in, you are now becoming the helper without offering help. And so the kids are then more willing to just try things out without dysregulating. So those are some strategies.
No, I love that. I honestly, and again, when you have these things in place, I feel then you're gonna proactively try to avoid those meltdowns. In the end, you're never gonna avoid meltdowns completely. So please also don't misunderstand. I also don't get it right all the time. I'm not a calm, collected person, great at parenting all the time. I also sometimes snap at my children. I also sometimes have the wrong responses. But I think also, again, if we don't challenge ourselves, we're not going to develop.
Also, you go to the shop, you get frustrated with the teller that's too slow, you're in the traffic, you scold the taxi that goes too fast, you shout at the guy who brakes in front of you. We melt down during the day.
Yeah, for sure we
Emotions
do.
are normal.
Yes, and you should feel those emotions. Don't just suppress it because then you get things like road rage happening eventually. Feel those emotions in the moment in an appropriate manner. Have the right behavioral response to the emotion. But yes, I just wanted to add just before we go to the ad break is that. For me, routines and schedules are also so important. But yes, let me get to that just after this ad break.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, if you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. My guest today is pediatric occupational therapist André Louise Oosthuizen, and we're talking about assisting your child with those daily tasks or trying to avoid your child feeling overwhelmed and dysregulated with daily tasks. It's been a wonderful conversation. So please, if you've missed it, don't despair. Luckily, this show and all of my shows are available as a podcast for you to go listen to. Unfortunately, we are strongly running out of time, so there's only so much to still talk about. Before we went to ad break, though, Andre and I've, honestly, I think I literally spoke to my guest Fiona last week about it as well. We were talking about why it's so important to have routines and schedules in place. And again, lots of parents, especially when you come from the freedom of, not having children and you can do things whenever you want and things like that, having routines and schedules sometimes feels for them like, oh no, I'm so boring and whatever. And now I have to be so strict with my lives. And that's not what routines and schedules for me is about. It's about actually freeing up my time. That's what routines and schedules, because it literally, like you mentioned, takes the thinking out of the mundane, silly things that you shouldn't be. You shouldn't be thinking, oh, when should I now be brushing my teeth? Should we be doing after brushing teeth? What should we be doing? No. It's like Andre said, you put shoes on, you put pants on, you put a shirt on. It's not things that you think about. It just kind of happens. And it does help your child also to know what to expect. Because keep in mind also, toddlers and children, small children, do not even have a concept of time. So, 5 minutes is 2 minutes is 1 minute. And you're like expecting them to be on time for things and they don't even know what time it is. So these type of routines and schedule also gives them a little bit of a concept of time to know. First we get dressed, then we have breakfast, then we drive to school type of thing. Making small things that's gonna happen expected for them every day, and then they are able to deal with it a lot and they feel secure in those type of things as well. But yes, Andri, before I now overwhelm or take over the conversation here again, one last thing that we maybe want to talk about is how, as parents, can we find ways to support our children in daily tasks?
I think the first thing we want to do is ask the question, am I in my brain or am I in my body? As adults, we operate in our brains. Because we operate in our brains, we want to tell children what to do and how to do it in the same way that we do it as adults, in our brain. A child should be in their body, where they're at developmentally, at least until six, is more in their body than in their brain. So when we're meeting a child, we want to meet a child on their body, not in their brain. So something like, why? Why did you do it? Why did you behave like that? Why can't you listen to me? Earliest time where that starts to kick in developmentally is somewhere between 3 and 4 and a half. So when we're asking our 3-year-old, why did you do it? The child is not ready to answer that. We are trying to get into their brain, but they're still in their bodies. Understanding how someone else is feeling, that comes between 4 and 6 years old. So when we say to our 3-year-old, well, how does Booty feel? They
Ha.
might be able to label the emotion, but they don't understand what it means for them and their behavior. So what we want to do is we don't want to go into a talking heavy mode. We want to be in a body guidance mode. So if we can say to a child, are you looking sad? Oh, he hit you. That wasn't nice. And then the child can expand and say, yes, he hit me. I'm angry. Now we've helped the child to be able to put words to that feeling. And then we can say, it's okay. You can't feel angry. But if we say to the child, why are you crying? They're going to come up with all types of answers because they don't understand the why yet. So we want to guide the child, but we want to say, it looks to me like you're angry. It looks to me like you're very happy. Ooh, that seemed nice. And we ask it like a question. We're not saying it was nice for you. Ooh, that seemed nice. And now our child can go, it was nice. So we're creating an opportunity for them to share their emotions without going cognitively heavy. The other thing we want to do is we want to go on a sensory physical level. We want to go again body focused. Ooh, that water was cold. We don't want to say, feel the water. The water is cold. Because I don't understand what cold feels like. But if we're going to go, ooh, shoo, that was hot. We're adding the emotion to explain, to give that feeling meaning. Now the child understands, I don't like hot water because I know what hot feels like. And so we're bridging it. So we want to talk using statement questions rather than big complex why questions. We want to talk using expressive ways of what we're feeling. Oh, take the head of the snake or the ears of the bunny when we're taking off our shoes. So we make it physical because if we can make it physical, the child is in their body, we're meeting them in their body, and then it is easier to regulate. Any big emotion typically lasts for 90 seconds before we can process it. Often
Oh,
after
wow.
9, yes. So that's how, as for us as adults, that's how we know we've got an underlying issue or just an emotion. So if I'm driving in the ta in that car and the taxi goes past me, I can feel frustrated with that taxi, and that frustration lasts for 90 seconds. If I still feel frustrated 2 hours later, there's something that I need to work through that wasn't the taxi cutting in. Because the emotion was a secondary emotion, it lasted longer than 90 seconds. But typically, our hormones that control emotions, they activate for about 90 seconds. So if we say to our child, almost time to go to bath, and we give them 90 seconds that they can just feel that frustration without talking about it, without immediately engaging, just give them that moment to feel the frustration of needing to finish. Then often they will just switch the activity much easier because we just allowed the time for that hormones to pass. So we don't have to engage immediately with an emotion. Our first thing is just pause and breathe and think 90 seconds because often that is enough for the child to process it and continue.
Even in my head, while you were saying that, now this is a life-changing moment for me, because even with my older children, sometimes I think I don't give them, and I've even said it, sometimes I'm surprised at sometimes the emotions that I feel in certain situations. But then very quickly, my very smart cognitive brain processes the emotion and I get over it. And like I said, within 90 seconds, I get over it. But then I'm surprised. It's like, I didn't think I would react or feel that way in that moment. But then I realized, okay, but it was a little bit of an illogical feeling in some ways, because for whatever reason. And now thinking about my own children, I should just give them a
Because
moment.
not every emotion needs to become something to discuss. It
Yeah,
can
for
just be the
sure
fact
not.
stopping your game to go and bath, that sucks.
Yeah.
Just leave it suck for 90 seconds.
And you also can't, and you've said that before, you can't actually control what you are feeling. You can control how you react to the feeling, but you can't control what you are feeling. That just happens. But oh, I'm so sad we're moving out of time, but more on this just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
And just like that, another show has come to an end. This is 101.9 High FM with me, your host, with your on Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. The show has been great today, speaking to my guest, pediatric occupational therapist, Andre Louise Oosthuizen. And Andre, just before you go, please let people know where they can find you.
WhatsApp is best. I answer irregularly. I'll put that out there. I answer in between when I've got time. I will answer, not necessarily within 24 hours. So they can WhatsApp me text messages on 066 065 8780. 066 065 8780.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Andre. It was so lovely having you. And thank you so much for all your insights, your tips, and just your being. It was really, as always, such a pleasure having you. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you, and it's such a privilege, Yolandi. Thanks for hosting the show.
It's been such a great show. And again, if you've missed it, don't despair. It will be available as a podcast for you to go listen to on highfm.com. Yeah, for me, I've learned so much. It's such a privilege actually to have the show for me as a parent as well, because it always makes me feel, again, like I'm learning something to reflect a little bit of my own parenting, which I think is also an important thing if we want to learn and grow as parents. Not that we have a choice, I feel. We have to learn and grow as we go along. But in all honesty, I actually feel very privileged that I get to do this all the time. And I'm hoping that you, as a new parent, also have the same thing where you're learning from this and that it's helping you as a parent. Please do send me a direct message on Instagram, Yolandi Becker, if you have any topics. You can also obviously send an email to info@highfm.com. If you have something specific you want me to talk about, I would love to cover some other topics if you have something in mind. So please let me know. Also, just the message would be nice, just to say, hey, Yolandi, I like your show. That would be also, as always, very nice. Yes, but I just wanted to kind of share something as well, because I often hammer on about how routines and schedules can make such a huge big difference in your life. And I'm not going to hammer on that. I just actually wanted to say that, like, especially when it comes to bedtime routines, we often have a similar routine, which is great. You should have similar steps, but you also have to keep in mind that if it's becoming boring for you and you're kind of going through the motions, a big part of what the bedtime is about goes missing because you're just going through the motions. You're not actually present in it anymore. So it is also helpful sometimes to change things up a little bit and to add things to your bedtime to remember that you should not be going through the motions. Going through the motions should be on tasks like brushing your teeth. That's a good going through the motions task. But certain tasks, like I said, the bedtime routine, don't forget the bonding that needs to happen. And if you're just going through the motions in robot mode, in a very key aspect of where bonding needs to happen at the end of a busy day, you're missing those opportunities for connection. So, just a final thought. So, as always, take what resonates with you, leave what doesn't, and remember that. Yeah, I guess connection starts at home. The most important thing, as always, let's go out there and be kind to ourselves and to each other. Have a good day.